Got it. User error. Good morning. My name is Pastor Andy. I'm one of your elders. I'm the congregational pastor at City Light Delco. It's a joy to be here with you this morning. I love the city of Philadelphia, spent time living in the city, but have been in Delco now for Upper Darby specifically for about 4 years now, 3 or 4 years. But I was telling Mark McNutt on the way in today, how much I love this city. And you see things here you don't see out in Upper Darby. Like, on my way in this morning, I saw a rat dragging a piece of trash across the street. And I was like, oh, isn't nature beautiful? This is wonderful. So I'm glad to be here. And in all seriousness, it is a joy to be with you. I haven't been able to be out as much since COVID as we used to be. Kind of the elders have been much more focused on getting things done at our own congregations. It doesn't mean we love you less or not. I would read Paul's writing where he's talking to these people that he doesn't know personally. He's never seen their face, even some of them. And I'm like, how can he love these people so much? And I've learned how he loves people that much since I've been an elder. Many of you I've never met in person, but I pray for you regularly and have grown to love you, and it's a joy to be here. Part of the reason I think that I love you guys so much is because of your pastor, Pastor Mike. He has just shown in his love for you a contagious kind of love that I think I've picked up. So I want you to know he deeply loves all of you. He loves the work and the mission here in Center City, and you're lucky to have a pastor like him. And add to all that, he's one of the smartest people I know, and so I am always thankful when I get to do sermon prep with him and hear all these great insights he has. So you have a wonderful pastor, and you should be thankful for that. I'm extremely thankful to elder alongside Pastor Mike. I'm going to pray, and then we will jump into our text this morning. So if you would, pray with me, and then we'll dive in. Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for this word specifically. Lord, we believe that in your sovereignty, this is the word that you have for these people in this room this morning. So Lord, would you move in our hearts and minds? Would you allow the word to move from our ears to our minds and into our hearts, God? Would you hold my tongue from anything that you would want me or would not want me to say today that would not be beneficial? And would you loose my tongue to say the things that you've called me to say? And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're getting close to the holiday season. I guess we're in the holiday season, depending what you count as holidays. And I am one of those people that thinks Thanksgiving deserves its own attention. It's a great day. But I've been thinking about Christmas. I'm also not an anti-Christmas person. I've already listened to a few songs. And I was thinking about that in light of this text. So have you ever, especially as a child, or if you have children, you see this happen during Christmas time, you think that if you just get this one toy, or you may have thought that as a child, this one thing that you've dreamed about, life will be good. You'll be satisfied. You'll be fulfilled. I can think of a time around eighth grade. So I was born in the 80s, most of my childhood in the 90s. I remember one Christmas deeply desiring fulfillment from a pair of JNCO jeans. So I don't know if you don't know what JNCO jeans are, look them up afterwards. They're ridiculous and absurd, but there was like a brief time where we had like mass cultural hysteria and insanity, and we thought these things were cool. But my parents never got me these jeans, and I felt like that was it. Fulfillment will never be attainable to me because I didn't get a pair of UFO JNCO jeans. Thankfully, now I see that my parents were much smarter than me, and I don't have embarrassing pictures of me in these jeans. Another time I can think of, a little bit more serious but still laughable, was in high school. I thought if I just got a cool car, then I would be fulfilled. It would make my life so much better. I would be able to drive into the school parking lot without embarrassment of my 87 Mazda 323 if I could get this nice, beautiful car. And I finally got it. I did. That one, not unlike the JNCO jeans, which still leave a little scar, I did get a Jeep Wrangler that I thought was a pretty cool car, especially for a 16-year-old. And I thought life would be good. But then, if you were that child wanting something like JNCO jeans or the Wrangler Jeep or something along those lines, you realize that it doesn't last very long. My kids' Christmas presents are in the back of the closet about this time of year, and they're wanting something new. The thing that just sent them over the moon, their JNCO jeans, whatever it was, is now relegated to the toy heap, if you know what I'm talking about. And how often do we do this as adults too, right? We'll say, maybe I do this, if I could just get this job, then everything will be right. And then you get that job, and a year later, you're thinking of the next one. Or if I could just make this amount of money, if I could get a comma in my bank account, then I will be satisfied. Or if I could get married, or if my spouse was this way, or if my job was that way, and we can build on it and build on it and build on it. And we're never actually fulfilled. And I know that I'm not alone in thinking that way. I know you're not alone in thinking that way because it's part of our condition as sinners. We're searching for fulfillment. We want something to be satisfying to us finally and ultimately. Whenever I preach or think of something like this, I'm reminded of an interview that Tom Brady did on 60 Minutes. And now you'll see that this is dated as soon as I say the quote at this point. But I think it holds true. And this was what he said. He was asked about, you know, when are you going to retire? When are you going to give it up? And he said, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings? So now he has, 7? So this is dated. Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think that there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. You've reached the goal, the dream. Me, I think it's got to be more than this. That was what he said. And I wonder how he feels 4 Super Bowls later, but I would guess similarly. And if Tom Brady isn't finding fulfillment, how am I ever going to find it? I'm not the Tom Brady of anything. What hope is there for me? So we're going to talk today, and in this verse, Jesus talks about fulfillment and satisfaction. Jesus actually is going to tell us today where to find fulfillment. And he uses another object lesson. Last week, Pastor Mike preached about the story of the woman at the well and how water was this object lesson. Right? Jesus showed the woman, and by extension us, that he's the ultimate life giver. Just like water gives us physical life, he gives us eternal, deeper, satisfying life and satisfies all of our heart longings. And he's about to teach a very similar lesson to his disciples today. The disciples have gone away. They went to get food, it told us in last week's text. And now they've come back. And they've missed this whole interaction with the woman. And so let's give them, when you first read this, it's easy to chuckle at their naivety, but they weren't there for this. And they give him food, and Jesus says, oh, I don't need that. I've already eaten. And I get why they would be confused there, but Jesus is intending to teach them something that day. And he's wanting to teach them something that food points to. You see, I truly believe that God has ordained this universe, our bodies, to work in such a way to teach us things about him. I don't think it's an accident that we have to eat food every day. I think Jesus, in his creative order, designed it that way. Jesus, as the agent of creation, made it so that we had to eat food so that he could teach us about who he is and who we are and our dependence and satisfaction through food. And so what he's wanting to teach them today is what this food points to. Jesus wants to show them that just like food, physical food, satisfies us physically, being on God's mission satisfies and fulfills us spiritually. And he says this in verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So our big idea today is that you should, or we should seek to, find fulfillment in being on God's mission. Find fulfillment in being on God's mission. And we're going to look at why Jesus' mission is satisfying. And the first thing we're going to see is that Jesus' mission is actually our mission. Jesus was not alone in his mission, or not doing or fulfilling or working out his mission alone. If Jesus was satisfied, follow me for a second, in fulfilling the mission of God, that was his ultimate satisfaction. And if that mission continues for us, which we will see as we read through this text, then it follows that that would be satisfying and fulfilling for us too. The very reason that Jesus is teaching his disciples, after all, is that they might, so that they might go and do likewise. So what is the work that Jesus came to do? What is this mission that he's on? Well, he came to save sinners. He came, John has told us, to give life, to bring eternal life to those who believe in him. And our mission, therefore, is to promote his mission. Right? Our mission is like a little bit of a bootleg mission, right? We're taking his mission and making it ours. Not in a bad sense, but we are about his mission. It's not our mission. We don't save anyone in ourselves. We're not giving eternal life in ourselves. But we point others to Christ so that they too might be saved in him. Paul, the Apostle Paul, calls us ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador delivers the message of whatever nation that he's called to represent. He says in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." So that's who we are. We're Christ's ambassadors. We speak for him. That is our work, to plead with people on Christ's behalf. And when we do that, I love that this text tells us, it's actually more satisfying and fulfilling than a great banquet. Jesus says this is his food. He doesn't need physical food in this moment because he's been doing the will of his Father. Just like Pastor Mike spoke about the water of life that Jesus gives us and how it's better than even the coldest water from the sweetest well, now Jesus tells us that obedience to God's mission, giving ourselves to see people brought to everlasting life through Christ, is actually better than the greatest meal you've ever had. It nourishes you and sustains you and fulfills you. Just like we spoke last week about trying to find life in other broken cisterns, I think Jesus here, the metaphor might be, you're trying to find fulfillment in moldy bread. Or it's like we just came out of Halloween, I have children, and we also didn't have a lot of trick-or-treaters at our house this year. That means we have a ton of candy left over. I try to find fulfillment in those Skittles. Right? It might give me a quick buzz of energy, but I'm never leaving that like, man, that was just a satisfying meal of 28 packs of Skittles out of this bowl. But we do that in our lives all the time. We have bread, beautiful, nourishing banquet food before us, and we eat Skittles all day. Or we think we need the Skittles. We may not even have the Skittles, but we're desiring them above this beautiful meal in front of us. Here's how I see it play out, if I can be honest with you, in our church sometimes. Especially among those of us who love Jesus. We forget that he is satisfying us. And so we start to think things like this. What I really need to be fulfilled is, and then you can fill in the blank with any other thing. Usually it takes the form of, well, some kind of ministry. If we had a singles ministry, then I would be fulfilled. If my city group was just a little more robust, then I would be fulfilled. If we had this ministry or that ministry, and when that happens, then I'll be much more effective at preaching God's word and being on his mission. But of course, I can't be on his mission until I eat all these Skittles. Do you see how we do this all the time? All of us have that thing that if we just had this, then I'll be fulfilled. And then I'll be able to go share God's word. This is how I've sadly heard it said, and I've said this too. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. Oh, I love that our church is so focused on mission and outreach, but why aren't we focusing on, I need to be fulfilled? Why aren't we focusing internally on keeping us well? Don't we want the church to be healthy? So we need to focus inward. And I there's some truth there. I get what we're saying. We do need to be spiritually healthy people. But it's actually a false dichotomy that we're setting up because Jesus just told us it's through being on mission to other people that we're fed. This would be like going and wanting to be healthy. I want to get healthy. I want to get in shape. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm not going to eat anything healthy for me for the next 3 months. I'm going to avoid the dinner table. If you've ever tried working out on an empty stomach, you know that doesn't work well. You actually get healthy by eating nourishing, healthy food. And we would see it as silly to say, oh, you want to get healthy, so you're going to avoid healthy food until you get healthy? No, that's exactly the way that you become a healthy person. You cannot get healthy and find fulfillment by avoiding the food that God has provided for exactly that purpose. And that food is doing his work, being on his mission. The second reason that following Jesus' mission or being on his mission is satisfying or fulfilling to us is that the harvest is ready, it tells us. Look at verse 35 in your Bibles. It says, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for the harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have now entered into their labor." Now, just like if you're like me, I should say, and you've lived in Philly for a while, maybe you were born and raised here, you might not know a lot about agricultural things. Right, so I want to fill you in a little bit. And Pastor Matt, he's preaching similar topic this morning. He said, if you're from Lancaster County, you can tune me out for like 30 seconds here. But the rest of us, we need to know a little bit. So I did actually work on a farm. Now, not in the same way that maybe L'Oreal worked on a farm, but I worked on a Christmas tree farm. And there's still a harvest time. Right, this right now is getting close to harvest time for the Christmas tree farm. And I can't read verses like this and not think about that. And what happened around the Christmas season every year at that Christmas tree farm? It was go time. It was all hands on deck. We were there for the big show. Right? Without harvest time, everything else would have been silly. All that watering and trimming trees and counting trees. That's a real job I had to do one summer. It was count Christmas trees. Right? All that would be nonsense without this big day. It was the culmination of a lot of hard work. It was the reward in many ways. It was a party. This was where all the money to grow those trees, to take care of those trees, to plant those trees, to rent the fields that they were grown in, comes in this short window. And so it was go time. It was harvest time. Jesus tells us that right now it is harvest time for us. I didn't get this metaphor about the fields are white for the harvest. I was like, what does this mean? So I looked it up. Apparently, you can correct me if I'm wrong, wheat turns white, like the heads of the wheat turn white when they're ready to be plucked, to be turned into bread. And Jesus is using this metaphor. He's saying, you think the harvest is far off, like you have time to waste? But right now, the fields are white for harvest. It's ready. It's Christmas season. You can't wait till January 1st to start cutting down Christmas trees and think you're going to have a good harvest. There's a sense of urgency here. Now is the harvest time. And of course, just like last week, he was speaking about water in a spiritual sense. He is speaking about a spiritual harvest here. He's talking about people, those souls that would come to faith in Christ. Jesus is telling his people here, there's a lot of people around you out in this world that you're going to come in contact that are ready to come to saving, life-giving faith in me. And I need some people to do the labor in this. Not need, I have chosen to use people to do the labor in this. Just like Christmas season is harvest season for the Christmas tree business, now is harvest season for us, church. We need everyone in on this task. Not just Pastor Mike or me or the other elders or your lay leaders and your volunteers. We need all of you. There have been seeds planted that you now get to harvest. And I think Jesus primarily here is talking about all the work of God's people from maybe Abraham or even Adam through to his life, death, and resurrection. Now for 2,000 years, we've been in harvest season. And we will be until Jesus comes back. So he's saying all of this work, all of these thousands of years preparing for Jesus to come, you now get to step right in to the fun part. They did all the sowing, and you're stepping into the fun. But I also think it follows that you will be sowing seeds that others will harvest. And it's all to the glory of God in Christ. So I have a quick question for you to think through. It's a quick question to ask, but one that I think for many of us should rattle around in our brains for a while this week. If the harvest is ready and plentiful, Well, let's assume that that's true because Jesus tells us. Have you ever led, Have you ever led someone to the Lord? And if the harvest is ready and plentiful, does that reflect in the results that you've seen in your life? Let me ask it a different way. Does it make sense that the harvest is happening if someone looked at your life? Could they tell there's a harvest? Could you tell there's a harvest based on my life of the way that I've been speaking to others? Now, some of you, you have been sharing the gospel faithfully with people for years and have not yet seen them come to saving faith in Christ. I am not meaning for you to feel guilty today. You are sowing and trusting God for that fruit. But I know for me, the reason there's not as much fruit is not because the harvest is lacking. It's because I am not laboring in the way that I should. And so today I want us not to think about getting out there and doing work. Because this is not a physical move first, it's a spiritual move. It's a heart move. I think the big way I want us to be challenged in this is to change our hearts and minds. I want us to wake up thinking of ourselves as laborers for Christ. I want us to think of ourselves as ones whose primary goal for the day, like a farmer's during harvest season, is to go collect the harvest. How different would your work be if that's how you lived your life? How different would your time at your kid's soccer game be if you saw yourself as a laborer there to collect the harvest? How different would your walks around your neighborhood be? There's so many things, and I'm pushing for us today. I want to encourage us today to make the heart change. The actions will follow. What I don't want, and we'll get to this in a minute here, in the next point, is for us to just make all these action changes, but nothing changes in our heart. Because as I said, this is a spiritual move before it's a physical move. This is a heart change before it's a life change on the outside. And let's look at why in the last point. Our last point today is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I love how John actually gives us an example of laborers and people on mission, people working for the harvest through this Samaritan woman. Look at verse 39. It says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. This is the woman that Mike talked to us about last week. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. I love this. This woman, who yesterday in this story was a sinner, hiding her sin, getting water in the heat of the day when nobody in their right mind would go get water so that she could avoid the shame of being around others who know all about her business, is now running into town, offering her story, reaping a harvest. Many believed because of her, it says. I love that. Through Jesus' work in her, many came to faith. And I think as I read this, I don't know if this is what John had in mind, but I think it's certainly there, is there's a contrast between this woman and the disciples. The disciples have spent all day, all their time looking for physical food. Right? They've spent all this time looking for physical food, but the woman who originally wanted water, physical water, left her jar and is out offering the living water to others. She's out satisfying her soul, finding her fulfillment in doing the will of her Father. Why? Why is she doing that? Is it because Jesus gave her a list of commands to follow? No. What's different about her? Why is she able to be about her Father's business? It's because she has been fulfilled in Christ. Her heart has been changed. She has had her true needs met in him, and she no longer needs that water from the well. She no longer needs those five husbands to fulfill her. She sees, like the crowd proclaims later, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And if he's the Savior of the world, he's her Savior too. And she wants to share that with others. And so today I have just a few quick applications from this whole thing that we're talking about. First of all, if Jesus is the Savior of the world, there is no one that you meet who isn't potential harvest. I don't care what color their skin is, what language they speak, what tax bracket they're in, or who they voted for, who they're living with, anything you could fill in there. The Savior of the world is an all-inclusive term. There is no one that you meet who isn't a potential harvest. So will you work that? Will you do the work to get that into your heart today? As we pray, as we preach, as we sing, will you work it into your heart that everyone you're coming in contact with is a potential fruit of the harvest? Second thing I want us to think about is if Jesus is the Savior of the world and that there's no one in this world who isn't a potential fruit of the harvest, he can be your Savior today too, and you might be a fruit of the harvest. Some of you in here today might have come in here looking for fulfillment in all kinds of things and have yet to find fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Do you know that part of what we're doing here, part of the reason volunteers come early and set things up and practice their music and are greeting you at the front door is because they're laboring for you. We're laboring because we want to see you come to fulfilling, satisfying life in Christ Jesus today. You're not going to find it in all these things that you're chasing. It's only to be found in Jesus. So today, will you put your faith in Christ as the ultimate fulfiller of your life? You see, you were born to have a relationship with Christ. You were created for that. But because of sin, your sin and sin in the world, you have been separated from him. You have turned your back on your Creator. We all have. We've sought fulfillment in all these things that are not the true fulfiller of our lives. And because of that, we stand guilty, condemned before the Lord. But Jesus Christ came and lived the life that you and I were designed to live and couldn't. He found his fulfillment, his food, fully in Jesus, or in the Lord, in his Father. And then he died the sinner's death that you and I deserve for our sin, paying the price so that all of those good, righteous deeds that he did, all of his finding fulfillment is credited to your behalf. And all of your debt and sin was credited to him. And now, because of that, you actually can be fulfilled in Christ. You can find fulfillment in him, and then as a result of finding it in him, be about his business, be on his mission. You see, I think the reason that being on Jesus' mission is so fulfilling is not because the work itself, in and of itself, is fulfilling. It's because of the one whose work it originally is. Yesterday, I went to a temple game with my daughter. It made me think of this. I'm often thinking of how things I'm doing remind me of what God has been teaching me. And the game was terrible. Temple lost by like 30 points. But it's the first time I got to go experience something I love, college football, with my daughter. She's 6. And it was one of the most fulfilling experiences because of who I was doing it with, not because of what was happening there. And this is not a one-to-one, so don't take the analogy too far. But what I'm trying to tell us today is that doing the work by itself, going to a temple game by itself, is not fulfilling. Doing it with the one you love, Jesus, is where the fulfillment comes. Being on mission because we're doing it with Christ Jesus is where our fulfillment will be. So I'm going to pray, and the band, I guess that's how we do it, right? The band comes back up at this time. Not quite, but I'm going to pray, and whoever comes up will come up. And I want you to think about it today. One, if you are a follower of Jesus, where are you still tempted to find fulfillment that's not Jesus? Or maybe also think about, who are the people that I've discounted from salvation? Who have I said that they can't possibly be the harvest? And those of us who are not, or those of you who are not followers of Jesus today, will you wrestle with that? Will you think, am I a potential harvest? Is Christ calling me to believe in him, to find my fulfillment in him? And so let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this word today. Lord, I know I needed this word this week. I needed to see how I'm finding fulfillment or striving for fulfillment in things that aren't you. Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive us for that. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. But Lord, thank you that you give us fulfillment in doing your will. So Lord, help us to be about our Father's business today. Help us to be about your business of saving others. Will you use us as ambassadors? Will you work in our hearts to give us a desire to be on your mission? Will you work in our hearts to see others as potential harvest, Lord? And Lord, will you even remind us that we were once lost and someone shared the gospel with us and brought us into this harvest as well, Lord. And Father, we thank you again for the privilege that it is to sit under your word this morning, to sing about your word and sing about you. And pray that you continue to work in our hearts and minds as we continue to worship you through our singing today. And we pray all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.